Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. Normally, I will play the Star Spangled Banner sung by the great Marvin Gaye. Then I will play Lift Your Voice and Sing by Ray Charles. But today, we're going to do some Zimmerman Trial commentary. And I think all of this week we're going to try to deal with that from all points bulletin. So let's start it off with a little Stevie Wonder then. We'll be back in 1 second. So I get everybody in the studio set together so I can get back in my groove. Ebony, why don't you go ahead and give me that Stevie Wonder, What Love Is Need Today, because it's what we need right now. Oh, by the way, we got Prince Po coming up. And we got never before seen testimony or heard testimony on eyewitness account to the Zimmerman murder. Stay tuned for that because it's not been played nowhere but one place, and we're going to have that here. And Evan needs to re-upgrade the title so everybody can know that's what we're going to do. Good morning, evening, friends. The world is in need of love today. Now,
your friendly announcer, I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
love today.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, what the world needs today is love. Now, I can go on my rant and rave on my position. Well, this week, since we kicked it off Sunday, I would like to know your position. A friend of mine called me up after the Vic verdict and said, "Yo, Jim, what's going on? You know, everybody knew the verdict was going to be guilty. If you ask 100 black folks, over 79 to 80% of them would say he's going to go get off. 20% might have hoped that he went to jail, but 80% knew he was going to get off. But the 80% was hoping that they were wrong. And that's why the 80% are upset right now. But anyway, what's the responsibility of the hip-hop community? You know, where's that voice that was out doing the riots, either guiding people to riot or guiding people to calmness or educating people on the situation at hand? Maybe me and my man Prince Poe can kick that off, but really I want him to kick off anything and everything about what's going on in the situation, you know. So you got that going on. I got a lot of people calling on the world. But let me play this little soliloquy for you right now to give you a sense of where we at. And I'm going to bring you, you know, little clips in and out from hip-hop community and stuff like that. But let me go ahead and just give you a sample of where we are at right now.
Peace, quiet, and good order will be maintained in our city to the best of our ability. Riots, melees, and disturbances of the peace are against the interest of all our people and therefore cannot be permitted.
The jury found that they were all not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not
guilty.
I was raised to be white, black. I was raised to be equal to anyone. Listening to you, you are so precious. I just can't believe it. I am shocked. You're scaring me.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? What is he saying that you have a problem with?
What scares us is I think we hear violence.
I think you don't know what the fuck it is you talking about.
I'm so scared to go out in the world next year because I was never a prejudiced person until I'm listening to you. It's really scary hearing what you're saying. I'm very scared.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? What is he saying that you have a problem with?
What scares us is I think we hear violence.
I think you don't know what the fuck it is you're talking about.
That same question about fearing, the white people fearing, you know, what will the black folks do and stuff. We should be running down the street screaming, ramping, and raving, because when you look at the statistics, who is the one dying? From the policemen, from the KKK, from the skinheads.
What scares us is I think we hear violence.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? And why is it when a black man stands up to speak for his people and other people stand up to speak for their people, there's no problem with it? But you're saying he said black, he said Jew. When people talk, they talk like that. But why is it when a black man stands up to speak for his people, you feel so threatened? Everybody's paranoid. And you talk about it's not segregation. We live in Harlem. We live in Watts. We live in Bedford-Stuyvesant. That's a form of segregation. We walk through Bensonhurst. We get killed. So what are you talking about?
Yo, Prince Poe, that was the only part of hip-hop I was going to play. I was going to bring you in right after that. Come on, could give, he just call back so I can get you on. I know you have a half an hour, but that's tops. Now, I do have this interview that I want to drop, Prince Poe. You know, this interview, 20 minutes. All right, listen, that's part of the problem. This interview, we'll let them know about the interview we're about to play, and let them know this interview is probably ain't been seen by, let me see, probably by what, 67 people probably seen this interview right now? You know, so what we're going to do right now on the underground, we're about to just sit here and release some information. Now, at first, I was kind of leery of the Justice Department looking into it, like, what you going to do, Obama? Why? Come on now. Come on, Eric Holder. Fast and furious. Come on. You ain't stopping dope. You know, all type of stuff. Like, come on, man. Let the deal. You know, leave it alone. But then people started sending me stuff. I had people on from Florida, people on from all over yesterday on the phone last night for the interviews and stuff. So everybody starts sending me stuff. I'm like, man, we hit something straight out fresh. Now, we're going to play it here. You want to get a chance to hear it. We're going to release the link on Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network page and the Martin Luther King Republican page, and you can find it on Jimmy Tillman's Facebook page and maybe friends of Ebony Tillman also. You can go to those spots and see where you can get this interview that you're only going to hear right here, right now, on the Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. Now stay tuned, get your popcorn, get your people, because this interview right here, it's going to be the interview that you don't hear from the mainstream. This ain't on CNN. This ain't on MSNBC. This ain't on Fox. You know, this here is what the media did not want you to see or hear and know about the case. All right, stay tuned. Here we go.
My roommate and I walked into the kitchen to make some coffee, and had been maybe a couple minutes before 7, right at 7 o'clock, and the window in the kitchen was open, so we heard some kind of like a whining or crying, someone in distress. I thought it was a little kid, and we kind of looked at each other, and then we heard gunshots. And at first it didn't really register what it was, so we immediately, within seconds, were out on the back porch, went through the sliding glass door, and saw a kid laying on the ground with this man standing with his feet, one on each side of the boy, and his hand leaning over him. And at the time, I didn't know if it was a guy that was coming up to help him, if the shooter had run and he maybe is checking his pulse. He was in front of the, on top of the body, so I couldn't see the kid's face. I didn't know if he was face up or face down. Maybe he was performing CPR, but you do that from the side, so it was a little confusing. So we said, everything okay? And he just looked at us. And some asked him again, what's up? What's going on? Everything okay? And he just said, call the police. Kind of nonchalantly, like, leave me alone kind of thing. And we're just so confused. I came in and grabbed my phone. Simon did stay out there for a moment. And she'll be happy to interview with you. The man did continue to stand on him. And she says she saw him pressing down. The boy's foot did move, but it could have been a reaction after death, or I don't know if the boy was still alive or not. At that point, I called her. I said, get in the house. Lock the door. We don't know, you know, who the shooter is, where he's at. Call. We have her daughter-in-law across the street. Tell her to lock up the doors. We immediately locked up all the doors and windows, went upstairs, and that's when we went to the master bedroom window. And we looked out the window, and the guy was kind of almost pacing, took a couple of steps, his hands on his head, went back over to the body, and then by that time I had been off the phone with 911 for a good minute, and I could see the flashlights of the police coming around the corner. A few minutes later, they turned the kid's body over, and that's when I saw it was a little boy, very, very young boy. Later found out he was 17. The police, you know, helped them tape off around the columns and everything with the yellow tape, and we filled out our brief report. Everything was so hectic. We have children, 3 children in the house. You know, we had to take upstairs and put in a room where they can see the backyard. We filled out the report, basic details, just right to the point. Signed it, gave it back to him.
So police never asked you for any specific statements or anything that
they never questioned us. They never asked us to go over the statement. They never, the only officer we spoke with was the one that handed us the paper and took it back from us. And he did not seem the least bit interested. And at that point, I'm thinking, obviously this guy is on his way to jail. I didn't think I needed to make, you know, any big issue out of anything. And they never contacted us, anything. And I found out 24 hours later that the guy was released without being arrested.
So this guy, this teenage kid gets shot and killed in your backyard, and police don't call you to the PD for questioning. They don't come to your home for questioning, nothing.
And even when I reached out and said, I guess they had left notes on everyone's door and there was a number at the bottom and I called him, he didn't seem very interested in talking to me. I said, you know, I'm a little worried. Here I am. This guy saw both mine and my roommate's face. He knows where we live. And he said, oh, you have nothing to worry about. Don't worry. He blew us off. And I called him back again and I said, I know this was not self-defense. There was no punching, no hitting going on at the time, no wrestling. There was a little boy whining and crying, and the gun went off.
Are you sure it was the teenager who was whining?
I am 100%, okay, 99.9% sure. It was the little boy. He sounded like, almost like he was crying for, like, not begging, but just like, I don't know, I can't even say pleading because I don't have specific words that I heard. So after contacting that same police officer twice, I guess I was an annoyance enough, but he gave me the phone number to the lead investigator, and Chris, I don't know if I could say his name, Chris, left a message with him expressing my concerns that I am very, very sure there was no arguing, no fighting going on at the time, because the fight that started happened all the way down the sidewalk and right around the corner, and that person called the police when the fight started. So he ended up shot in my backyard, which is 3-4 houses down.
So you never heard any sort of dispute or argument going
no,
on prior to that?
That happened down there. I never heard that, and we would have heard fighting something. We would have heard punches or yelling, or there was, from what my neighbors are telling me, verbal arguing, punches thrown, you know, whatever. I think that the shooter probably got beat up and was very angry, but I really believe the little kid was trying to get home because it was not in the place that the fight started.
Take me back to when you, Zimmerman holding the kid down, what did it appear he was doing? Does it seem like he was trying to help? Does it seem like he was trying to, I mean, thinking back on it, does it seem like Zimmerman was in, someone trying to help save this boy's life after he had shot him?
At the time, I don't know, I had so much going on through my head, I couldn't figure out what he was doing. It didn't make sense what he was doing. So I can't say that at that time I thought, oh, he's trying to harm him, because I didn't know if he came upon the scene. In my head, if he was the shooter, he would have ran. So I didn't put two and two together that maybe he was possibly still there trying to harm him. But when I think about what I saw, it's logical, having one foot on each side of the little boy.
We're going to stop it right there and bring my man Prince Poetry. And he got short time, so we're going to bring him in and see what he has to say. Bring him in for me. Yeah, I think he lost my hair power here. You lost for Prince Poetry? Okay, let me go ahead and yeah, so that is what we got, like, never before heard testimony of what happened and what transpired. What do y'all think about that? You know, what's your take on that? Oh, we lost Poe. Well, listen, what I do then, if we, because I know his time was limited. Okay, I know his time is limited. And I just pause it right there. And what we do is we go from right there and bring it in after we get off our man. What's up, Prince Poe? What's going on? Am I on him? Yeah, man, you bring him in? Just bring him over. Lost him again because I'm dead here. I'm flying blind. Okay, well, I know his time is limited, so I tried to stop the play of the clip. Should we go back or should we bring him in? What should we do? I'm flying, with you. Okay, well, listen. We bring Sean in. I want to play the whole clip, but I'll play the rest of the clip. What's going on, Sean?
What's going on? I heard. Who Prince Poe, who?
Well, that's Prince Poetry. He's from Organized Confusion, a little hip-hop group. We don't try to get the rapper's response from, you know, the situation to see what to deal with that. But what do you think about the little clip that I played?
I just got in and heard a little bit of it. What? She is this somebody, another witness that can't
this
prove nothing?
Witness, this was a witness. See, the shooting took place in Trayvon's the murder of Trayvon took place in this lady's backyard. And what she was telling about her eyewitness account to it, how she went to the police and called the police to, you know, wrote a report and all of that, and how it did not get response. So what I'm going to do is play it again in its entirety, you know, right now.
Do you
now.
Really have to? Okay, yeah,
well,
okay.
Well, listen, okay. I got five.
Go ahead,
because
people may not have heard it, yeah.
Right, so let me play it so everybody, because right now, Sean, this is an exclusive that I'm playing right now, and it's only probably, let's say, 65, 75 people have heard it thus far, and I'm trying to make sure that my listeners get to hear it, and then I'm going to share the link so everybody can share it and pass it on, because now I believe Eric Holder does have a reason now to investigate it, because this right here might uncover a whole ramp of... Scream is conduct. For a second, let me get
The
police did not send all the witnesses and take all the testimonies in her hand because she thought, let me play the whole tape entirely.
Look, can't they just fire like half that police department for violating this boy's human rights by not performing a proper investigation?
We're about to find that out now, and I guess that's why the state's attorney, Eric Holder, now is looking into it. So right now you can wait till after the court did his thing. So we're now we're waiting for that to
Hello?
Hold on, let me bring my man Prince Poe in. Hold on for a second. Hold on, Sean, I'll call me right back.
Hello?
What's going on, Prince Poe? How you doing, man? Hey, are you there? Because I'm having a hard time over here, so I'm flying blind. I'm gonna need your assistance with the machine. Bring him in. Just bring him over when he's in, and we'll go from there. As soon as you get in.
There you go.
What's going on, Paul?
Peace.
What's up? I'm sorry. I know your time is limited, and I was trying to get you in as soon as possible. What's your take on the trial and verdict and outcome?
Got me on.
Yeah, you on now. You live.
Okay, how y'all doing today? How are people doing today?
All right. Yeah, I was playing a little extra of this interview that this lady did with this news company about how the police did turn the statements in to the prosecutor. She filed complaints, called back and forth to the state, to the station, and she filled out an incident report when it happened and how it was not taken for granted. But anyway, what's your take on it, man? What you feel about it, man? And what the hip-hop community is going to deal with it, man? What's your take? What's up, Prince Poe? Let me know. Let my listeners know what's up.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, we're dealing with another incident that we can add to the list of many, many incidents. And like I said, you know, a lot of times you have to take your anger out with truth. And one of the truths that we need to speak on, because, you know, this is somebody's child. This is a community's child. This is our children. This is our future. And just, you know, when you think about the Megan Evans and the Martin Luther Kings and the Malcolm X's, you know, it's just a shame that we're still dealing with this. But it's sort of an irresponsibility on ourselves, too, as a community, because if we have a stronger community, a lot of these questions that we're asking can be answered, and we can finally start seeking a solution because we live within a very unstable system. Because just where I'm from and just the deliverance that I've experienced in my life and the things that I've seen, you know, these problems have been in, within our system, within our peoples for decades. So it's like, to me, is a little irresponsibility on our behalf, because we need to move as a unit and as a community. And my thing is like, you know, when we was brought up, you know, if I came home from school late, either my parents was asking questions or a neighbor seen me. And the neighbor would say, yeah, I seen him horsing around on the way home. You know, you was raised by a village. And this way, if something would have happened to me as a child, somebody would have found me, because I was being watched over, and it was a responsibility of a community. That has been broken down over the decades, and I mean, it's in vain for the course that our predecessors have made. You know, they made the sacrifice with their lives. So I'm pretty sure if we would kind of like focus on tightening our communities, these problems can be diminished even faster, because we have an eye on the street. We have an eye on our communities. We have an eye on our surroundings. And this way, we can come up as one. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, it was just bad representation on the stand. It was just false information. And, you know, it's just like I told you, like, you know, if I horse around after school, you know, you got a village raising, somebody's going to see me horsing around. Somebody's going to say, boy, you need to get home, because I know your daddy or I know your mama, and I'm going to tell them that you're out here horsing around. So it was a little bit more discipline within the realms of the stages of my life. And we need to restore that back to our community, so that we can be more in tune with our children. We can know what's going on. We can keep a better eye on the things going on, so then when these incidents happen, we can get some quick answers and we can finally have a solution for our people.
I agree. Before I play it deeper into this conversation,
it's so much pain inside this issue and inside this horrible incident. And you know, like I said, and I can't get the mother's the thought of the mother's feelings out of my system. It's way beyond the case. It's way beyond what they showed on TV. You know, there's a lot of things that's missing. There's a lot of things that's out of order. And the only way we can restore order to that, for us to have the facts first, if an incident happens. We hope that it doesn't happen, but then when these things happen, it's easier to say, I know where my child was at. I know what my child does. This person saw my child. That person was with my child. So this way, now we're at a point now where all these questions that we're asking, the answers and the solution got to be much faster, because it's demanded. And it's demanded without so much violence or without so much being aggressive. It's demanded with intelligence.
Susan, you still there?
Yeah,
I'm
still here.
God dog it. Phone you dropped. Hope you had 30 minutes of your battery of that right there. But what I understand what you're saying. You have to listen about a community, Prince Paul. But check me out right here. I have a witness that witnessed this child horsing around, or this child last seconds of life. Now, it's a 16-minute interview. Sean, if you're holding on, when I get to play it, you can hear it's an entirety. Is he back? You have any? Please help me out. Please help me out so we can get clicking on right there. Yeah, because I'm flying blind here.
I lost him again.
Got you live on the mic. Yeah. Well, your key, okay. I got him, Ebony. I got it.
Hello?
Hey, Paul, what's going on? Now, right back with you. Now, no, there is a witness that saw the situation. You see, everything was not given. You see, people fail to realize this. It's difficult for the prosecution. Now, a lot of my friends and fans and people out there, they watch the L.A. Law. They watch The Good Wife. They, you know, they watch all the, you know, dun-dun, anything, SVU, all that stuff that goes with it. And if they watch that, they know the best friends in all of those organizations are what? The prosecutors and who? The police department. Now, how hard is it for someone to believe that they could not have bungled it up when everyone knows that the prosecution and police department do work hand in hand together? But I say that now. Oh, God damn it. Pause, I'll bring you in. You was in live, Poe. Texting to see if there's anything wrong with his phone. You know, and telling me he can call us when he gets to a destination. And, okay, I got him back. Yeah, pull your phone, keep dropping. Go on ahead. But I got somebody witness the whole deal. And it's like only about 65 people have shared this link. And only about 5 people, you know, have really, ain't really played it. But it's a witness of seeing the shooting. It's a witness of him standing over his body, even, you know, killing the individual. And the man just sit back and the police just sit back and disregarded all that information. Now, you know, I know your time is limited. I'm going to play, it's a 16-minute interview. My listeners want to hear it out in its entirety. I'm going to play that interview, you know, so you can hear what was not allowed in the courtrooms or what the police department did not bring to the prosecutors. And these are things that leaving room for Eric Holder, like you said, Sean, to investigate his civil rights. But go on there, Prince Poe. Do your thing, homie. You know, I know your time.
No. I'm definitely listening because, like I said, you know, and what I was saying before the phone cut off, what I wanted to add, what I was trying to say definitely is in conjunction of what you just said. When we claim back the theme of community and the responsibility of community, you won't have one witness that seen this valuable life, man, just taken. And I mean, like, you know, my thing is that we don't need to have one witnesses no more. We need to have 17 witnesses. We need to have a community of witnesses because this way, you know, in a legal manner, we can demand that all the information is taken in consideration. I mean, you know, like when you got, oh, this one person seeing this, but when you got a community that's moving, and I'm not saying that it could have been 17 people there because, like I said, it is what it is. It's what happened. But you know, when you got a certain, when you're working within certain rules and laws, you know, every state has their own rules and laws. And I mean, I even got a text today about the self-defense law states that somebody just sent me. You know, and I've been pretty much new about that. You know, we got to abide by rules and regulations. That's just how it goes in within the system. I just think that when a community is knowing, like, it was very hard for me to get into a fight without my neighborhood knowing that I was in a fight. You know, when you're raised by a village, you know, like I told you, a neighbor down the hall from you or the neighbor down the block from you or a friend's mother or a close relative is driving by. There's interaction and connection between all of us within that community. So it was very hard for you to just do anything to me or abduct me or try to snatch me up or whatever because I was within the system of a community that was way more stronger than. And we need to restore that because it should be more than one witness. It should be somebody to say, he always gets ice cream with me at the same time after school every day, so I knew something was wrong. It should be a lot of pieces to our side of this story so that we can kind of legally demand that they take the right steps to get in a fair trial and to get the facts straight. This is what we need to restore back. You know, now we're in a time where, you know, the neighbor came and speak to the kid next door. Well, if we can restore that back a little bit better, step by step, each calculated step, we can start getting some solutions instead of always having problems and never getting no answers. We can start demanding answers legally, respectfully, you know, without it getting all crazy. You know, rioting is not going to it's not going to take away the pain in the mother, and it's not going to bring this young soldier back. But the main important thing is that we can start working on the process of stopping this stuff from happening over and over, because this happens every week. I was talking to a close friend, and that's what she was saying. Like, they're not even saying about how this happens over and over every other week somewhere. Some of it's just not making the news. This is a very serious matter we're dealing with right here, and we need to start learning how to remend ourselves as a community. So this way we have numerous witnesses. We have numerous people that can watch over each other. And this way we can start diminishing these problems and living within a solution.
Yeah, I agree totally with the whole, what you're saying there. But I'm going to say this. When you hear this tape that I'm going to play, And what I want you to do is go on the Underground page, pull and pull it off, or, you know, I'm Republican, or my Martin Luther King Republican page and pull it off. And I want everybody that's out there listening to get this link and put it on your page and share it. It's an interview with one of the two witnesses, because more than one, one of the two witnesses that saw the actual shooting of Trayvon Martin, reported it to the man. The lady said she didn't even know that Zimmerman was the aggressor. She thought Zimmerman was assisting Trayvon Martin and actually was killing him at that time. Now, she said she reported this to the police officer when the officers came up, took his statements and all like that. Well, I'm going to play it again. But as far as riding, Prince, no, ain't nobody going to ride. Let me tell you why, my man. Because Obama's the president. And we're not going to embarrass Obama. You mean, let me tell you something.
Right.
There is no Reginald Denny moment here going to happen. Ain't no white man going to get snatched out no truck, get hit across the head with no brick, and have people in the streets dancing. It ain't going to happen this time. Because right now, we ain't trying to be Benghazi. We ain't trying to be Brazil. We ain't trying to be Greek. We ain't trying to be all those countries right now that's in turmoil. I mean, people don't realize this. The people that's out in the streets right now, they ain't Trayvon Martin supporters. They're angry black people. That's MoveOn.org and these Occupy people, because they found a reason to be back out in the street.
Well, when I made that statement, I think that what I'm saying about, you know, we're not thinking about rioting and nothing like that, because first of all, that's not even working towards the immediate solution. Like I said, you know, we always have panels even in hip hop, and they always speak about the state of hip hop, and it's always about what the problem is. We knew about these problems for years. These same problems have been with us for decades. They just might change the style of the problem, but it's the same problem. So my thing is that what I was saying was, you know, I don't think we're riding, even besides us having Obama as a president, that's part of the hope factor of the situation and for people to restore some of their faith, which I think is a good thing. I'm just talking about now that we're a more educated people. You know, we're finally being seen as somebody who could speak with some type of intelligence. We don't have to say, that's what's up every time we talk. I mean, we're self-educating ourselves. We're empowering ourselves. We have better jobs. We have more stability. People are coming up with more creative ways to create new businesses. We have more young minority entrepreneurs, not just black, Latinos, Asians, all across the board. We have more of power within ourselves. If we can restore the community factor to that, then we can start working on going at some of these laws, hiring the right representation, because I don't have nothing against the sister that got up there, but I don't have not one friend that talks like that. And I'm from the hood. I'm in the hood. I'm always in the hood. I'm always interacting with people. And, you know, I've seen ignorant people of all race, creed, and colors. There are a lot of intelligent minority people, a lot of intelligent black sisters and brothers. And what I'm saying is that anytime anybody knows they're supposed to go up on a trial, they get coached. They get told what's going to be expected, because you're going into a room that has its own language. You have to go in that room understanding the language. It's a language that's used for legalities in this country. I don't understand. We've been seeing cases for years. You hear how they talk in court. That's not a regular conversation. She should have been coached properly, because the anger came out before the pain. The pain should have came before the anger, because this is a serious matter. It's not about what you don't want to do or you have an attitude. You know, I don't know where the mindset she was at. I don't know her situation, so I don't have nothing negative to say about the young sister. But what I do know is that, you know, when anybody goes on the stand, they're supposed to be coached, because you're dealing with a serious situation. You're supposed to know what they're expecting when you go up there, and we have the facts. We stick to the facts. We get coached. We know what we're dealing with. We know what the problem is, and we're aiming straight for the solution. So, you know, like I said, I was just mentioning about the rioting thing, because I don't want to be a part of things no more that still harps on the problem. I'm really ready to search for the solution.
I agree with you. I got a caller that's probably got a question about that and it's the solution. But let me ask you, let me just drop this out for those who don't know. If you want to see where your girl Press is at right now, she's on Piers Morgan right now giving an interview, because she's about to get paid. Because let me tell you something. This is what I'm upset about. You know, I feel myself as an old school because I still hang on my pop and my grandma's still around. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see myself as an old school cat like that. But I have children, you know. So I got kids that's an inner age generation. And, you know, my generation, you had the yo-yos and Ice Cubes. You had the Ride or Die. What the fuck? Where is the Nicki Minaj's of the world that I'm down with Lil Wayne? I'll bust a cap and beat a bitch ass. Where is that ghetto in you that I'm riding and dying for my homie who is dead? Right then, you're supposed to ride for your homie, the only person right in the whole world that can tell the truth and tell the story was you. You didn't even feel like going up there. They had to subpoena you to go up there. I wouldn't put in doubt that the community was probably threatening to beat her ass if she didn't go testify. How hell, what the hell you get off saying, I ain't coming back. Is that your homie? Is that your boy? Is that how you going to represent him? That is my problem. I'm not tripping on that. I'm like, where is the realness of riding for my homie? But let me bring this guy from Detroit in. We might have a question from you. This is my guy. He's a political activist. And rapper. His name is The Dawn. Let me bring him in right now. What's going on, Dawn? How you feel? And I got some of his music on my underground too. What's going on, Dawn?
All right. Peace. How you feel, man?
Hey, I feel good, man. Just peace and love, everybody. I was just kind of listening in, man, and, you know, just checking out what you all were saying. I was actually watching that Piers Morgan show. But I think, man, really at the bottom line, you know, with this whole situation, it's like, man, we all know what it was, the racial situation. I think we can sometimes sit up and say, oh, it was this, maybe it's that, maybe it's this. But I think, Prince Paul, you just hit on it, man. This is how this always happens. You know, sometimes they have it in the news. It's been going on, you know, since we've been over here in this country, and it's like it's going to continue. And I know sometimes a far-fetched solution may be separation, but it's almost like we just have to really, I mean, do our own thing. Jim, I know you're on the Republican side, and that is what it is. But it's like, man, I feel like we just go back and forth. You know, we do this, we do that. Okay, this is it, this is that. And I think we really just need the creed. The Most High might be showing us that, you know, it's always going to be, they always going to give you the same verdict or the same, you know, you watch the movie Roots or whatever. You know, they always going to, I'm going to set you free. Oh, you know what? Nah, take it back. You know, it's like we go back and forth instead of, once again, revisiting, I mean, the Marcus Garvey philosophy and all. We need our own. That's
right.
For me, and I know that's far-fetched, and it's because everyone is in their own, you know, separate, I'm this, I'm that, and whatnot. But I think it kind of goes back to recapturing who we are as black people and descendants of slaves, but knowing we come from that great ancient culture as well.
Yes, sir. I definitely agree with you, and I thank you for hearing that part, because one thing I want to touch base on what you just said right in connection with what Brother Lee said is that, all right, let's just say we need to go back to the element of what you just said, who we are. First of all, you know, our parents, our young parents of today are not even in tune with their children because they're working 2 or 3 jobs. They don't have the time to be home, to check homework as much, or to ask them questions, or to make as many PTA meetings to find out if it's not only about the kids' academics, but about the attitude of the teacher and the dedication of the teacher. You have all these teachers coming up with these little molestation charges and different things because the parent is not even given the chance to go and have a PTA meeting to sit down and build with the teacher because they're working 3 jobs. And you know why they're working 3 jobs? Not only just to pay the bills, because the kid got to have an iPhone, True Religion jeans, what's the $450 Prada pair of shoes, but still living in the projects. So like I was saying, the community got to start from home. If we know how to go get maybe a G-Shock instead of a iced-out watch, if we can learn how to financially guide ourselves better and have some more self-discipline and get our priorities in order, we can have more in-tune time with our kids, because my dad works, and I would see him maybe 3 days a week. But he wants to see the homework. He wants to know how I feel about school. He wants to see how my sanitary conditions is in my room that I'm responsible for. These are the things that are missing now. And therefore, if you separate our community, then you can put any kind of chaos in it. Somebody can come in and inherit somebody's child, and it's going to take a couple of more seconds to be like, wait, somebody's child been hurt. That's supposed to be on top of that right away. So it really got to start, too, from the home and us really reprogramming ourselves to know who we are. And like the brother just said, you know, this been going on. So it has to start with us. You know, we need to understand that this is a country, but this is a business. So if us as a people start reconnecting the community, but also start looking at ourselves as a business, as much as money as we spend on product, as much as things as we do, all I'm saying is that if we regain, reprogram, and remember who we are and what's been represented before us, because I'm pretty sure Mega Evers and Martin and Malcolm is turning over in their graves right now because they did so much work. They put in so much work, and I think that with us, we got to put in the same work. It starts from home. I make records. I never bought a $400 pair of jeans, and I don't think I never will. I just don't feel it's that important to me. I feel like I can wear a $70 pair of jeans just like the next man can make a $400 because of how I feel about myself. We need our community centers back so our children can understand their worth and understand that they have to become the best that they can be. And like I said, that came from a village doing it, community centers, neighbors. And like I said, I don't really get sucked into a lot of things. It's wonderful to have nice things as long as it's within your budget. But my thing is, like, if you're out and you're working 8 jobs and you only see your kid 3 times a month because you want your kid to be fly, it's all cool to be fly, but you ain't got no inclination of what your kid might be developing into. And that's one of the main problems I see when I walk up and down the street every day. So we do have to remember that this is an old problem, and we have to become self-efficient. We have to know how to become better with our money, is, you know, a better consumer. And then, you know, and also, too, we got to understand the value of time, because you can't possibly understand your child if you're not spending enough time with them and knowing who he's around, from his teachers to his friends, to how he feels about school, you know, and these are the important issues we need to work on. We need to start at self, because this problem is really old. It's just that I always feel the pain. I never let TV dumb me down, or what I would say, a better word is to numb me from the pain. If I see somebody's kid get hurt on the news, I feel the same pain, the same way I felt when I seen a kid get hurt on the news 10 years ago. As a lot of times people become numb to that pain, so therefore they don't feel the responsibility to the community. It's easy to give up. You know what I'm saying? It's very easy to give up. It takes a real responsible, strong, God-hearted person to really stand up and fight for what's right, because it's harder. So we have to restore that back, man. We got to bring that back from the home. You know, half the kids I see that look fly on the street, they parent ain't seen their report card in 3 semesters, and their parent ain't seen them in 4 days. Because they're not working all the time to keep them true religion and them $200 sneakers, you know, coming in.
Yeah, I got another call from Cleveland. You'd like to hear about Kobe.
I want to say one thing to Prince Poe, and I kind of jumped in, and I kind of apologize. I want to take something back, because I'm a school administrator / teacher, so I'm in education as well, and I use the Organized Confusion Straight Bullet song within my class. And that song, I mean, you all have many, you know, hits and whatnot, and you know, in the hip hop community. But that song, and even also a song called "Why" that you all did, that really helped get me through my last year in college. I mean, you know, that's what was going on.
That's an honor and privilege, man. I'm blessed. Thank you so much. Humble and honor, man.
Yeah, and it really is. And when I play it to my kids, I've used it, and I use hip hop since I'm also a hip hop artist. I use it to teach in my classroom, and like I said, I use that song, you know, numerous of times, you know, to get the students to understand. Really, I kind of use it as a fill in the blank, so they can, you know, kind of fill in the rhymes, and then also to get the whole message of that Straight Bullet, you know, song as well. So that was really a hard, you know, hard hit you all came out with, and I appreciate that too. So I'm glad I wanted to, you know, get that out.
Man, I'm humbled. I'm hanging my head in humility, brother. I appreciate you so much, because without your ears, I have no voice, man. That was the whole purpose of those songs, man. The biggest reward of even making records was to have people say that to me quite often on the road, man. I mean, we are each other's teachers and students, man, and we are each other's encouragement. And that's why I keep mentioning community, because, you know, it hurts me, man. I lose sleep sometimes thinking, how can I sit here? I'm trying to fathom the pain of Trayvon's mother and father. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I know I can't, I never understand that, but just to have that in my head, you know, and people always say, oh, well, you know, I kind of don't care because that's not me. That is you. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody on this phone right now has lived or been a part of or been up the block from a tragedy just like this. And we're all from different places in the United States. And we all have had this right next to us. Why is that?
I think it becomes, you know, the violence, and even going back to what you said earlier about the family, and this is no disrespect to, you know, Dr. King or the civil rights movement in this way, but it's kind of like after that movement, when it's like a chess move. I think we haven't taught our you know, the generation how to even spot our enemy, you know, so our enemy is still out there, and our enemy is using strategy after strategy and technology and all these other things to further their cause. And I think sometimes we have gotten complacent over the years, thinking like we've made it with our careers. You know, we all want to, you know, the careers and whatnot. But I think careers and all these other things, like you said, parents are working to buy material things, and with their losing the family and losing their children, you know, to the streets and to the violence. So it's almost like a chess game, and it's like, They're really making a lot of moves on us, and we're kind of sitting back, thinking almost in checkmate, thinking, well, like, oh, don't see the move, you know.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
I got another call in. I'm gonna bring him in from Cleveland. That's my man Donald Did. And I'm gonna play his cut. I'm gonna check it out before you break out of here, Paul. But I'm gonna bring this man Sean from Cleveland. But before Sean, you jump in, you want to. But let me throw this question to anyone of y'all that's out here now about. 75 to 80% of Black America felt that Zimmerman was going to get off, and about 15 to 20% was no thought that he was, like me, was going to be found guilty. But my deal is, it's the pain of that people feeling. Is that pain is felt because, I mean, I'm quite sure everybody on this phone just knew he was going to get off. Was that pain felt because y'all was hoping that you all was wrong and you disappointed that you was right? But go in there, Sean, and ask a question, and Paul, you can, you know, answer this question and follow up with the answer too.
I kind of figured he wasn't going to get off. I mean, that he was going to get off. But, you know, it was all the hope and all the charade that was going around. Maybe it was going to be a change. Maybe things going to be different. And we've seen the reality of it. And that is nothing has changed. Nothing has been different. And as far as, you know, what our people, we're never going to get back to community. That was back before Martin Luther King had us infiltrated. We got divided and conquered. We're never going to get back to that. I done traveled around, and I find that most cultures outside the Black community, they read books. They constantly read books. We don't read books. We want to sing and tap dance all the time.
Right.
I mean, and that's why we can't express ourselves. We don't know how to talk. The girl, she was in court for what? She listened to hip-hop all day. Somebody should say, go to the library on a constant basis. You go to any other culture, they always in the libraries and reading and study. We don't do that. We made ourselves permanent entertainment. We made ourselves permanent tap dancers. We're going to entertain you. It's like we're the court jesters. We done made ourselves permanent like that, and that's what we strive to be. That's why we get treated the way we treat it, with no respect, because we can't think. I mean, well, we can think, but we choose not to. We'd rather use our bodies, our strength, instead of our brains. So,
I
wouldn't say never. One thing, like I said, I'm in the classroom, and when I deal with students, it's a lot of times we really need good teachers, and not just teachers in the classroom. I mean, just what I mean by teachers, I mean just when we have wisdom, we grow, and we grow older in age, we should always want to give something back to the young people. Like I said earlier, I play certain songs to young people just to get their response. They don't really know if it's new or old, but I always find young people, when I give it to them in a particular way, they latch on to it. Like I said, I play the Dre Bullard song that Prince Poe made, you know, years ago, and they love it. It's like,
but
the kids coming up now, no one is out there teaching them, so you can't say never. You say never, then we doomed, period. But when you say never, then that means maybe you're not in the trenches around other intelligent, you know, especially young-minded people. And I have kids, I have children myself, so I know, and I hear them, and I hear their questions they ask, and I hear the responses they come up with, and this is not just coming from me. This is coming from their heart, from, you know, how they feel, how they see certain things. So that tells me that it's always a new generation. Sometimes it's almost like certain people have to be removed. I don't want to say die out, but when we think that way, I think that's also a detriment, because we know really why we the tap dancers, and we should really know why we the entertainers. It's still based on that, you know, that underlying racism that's out there. That's not an excuse, but it's still, we all know that we do have an open enemy that's out there to get us, and they use them by any means necessary, and we really don't.
Right. You're right about that. Now, far as like us being a community, I'm going to tell you, like, a lot of people get in the car with me and be like, oh, man, I don't like what they're playing on the radio. The way that I feel that I'm giving back to remending the community is that, first of all, I ain't going to be around forever. I'm not going to live forever. I'm not, more and more every day as I count my blessings, I become less afraid of death, you know, and I'm not calling it, I'm not putting it out there. I'm just embracing it because I'm learning how to embrace my blessings and the things around me that has been extremely inspiring to me. My dad used to say, he used to put food in front of me, and I'm like, I don't want to eat that. And he used to say, oh, well, you still got a choice. And I used to say, what's the choice? He used to say, you could either eat it or wear it. And as I got older, I realized that I really don't, it's like my dad was saying, I really don't care what you think. Like, you have something to eat, and that's that. Like, you can either be hungry, go to bed with it on your clothes, or you can sit there and enjoy a meal that you're blessed with. I think that we need to stop worrying about what isn't and start worrying about what is, because if you get in my car, you're not going to hear a whole bunch of wretched music. You're going to hear some good music. You might hear a little Chaka Khan. You might hear Uncle Rick James and these things. If you don't like it, then drive your car. That's it. There's no argument with me. So I'm trying to live by an example of restoring community, and just like if I feel like you're not being adhesive to solutions, all you do is complain, you don't know how to take your anger and apply it to maybe self-educating yourself by either going to school or starting a very lucrative business or giving back to community in another way, then I don't need to even be around you. So my thing is, I'm just trying to save one or two people. Being an example to one or two people. We all did that because I got a whole host of positive brothers in Chicago, in L.A., in Vegas, in North Carolina. Now, if I just deal with that, that's making a change and remending the community. I can't continue to live within this rhetoric because I'm not sleeping well with it.
Okay. That's true. But if you want to change community, send the kids to the library. You know where they're at.
Right.
Okay.
And
that's how they change the community, because they're thinking. You know, they everybody outthinks us because they read books. If you want to keep something from a black person, what do? You put it in a book, because a nigga won't ever open a book. Right.
Right.
Same thing. That's how they outdo us, and that's how they sneak us, and that's how they trick us. And they outtalk us because they're constantly reading books. We're constantly playing basketball while they're constantly studying. Okay,
exactly.
I know it's boring, but that's how they build up their neighborhoods, because they're intelligent enough to get out and do things and get enough resources because they read on how to get it and bring back to the community. Whereas we want to hope and pray we get a scholarship or something so we can entertain and get more money, and then somebody will give us something. That's how we acquire things, through entertaining, not by thinking not by reading books and learning.
Well, you know what? You share that with
your Because
team.
When you
of
learn
course,
your
I
books,
know.
Your vocabulary expands and your thinking.
Well, you know what? And I agree with you so much that this is how we change it. You already got kids around you doing that. I'm trying to get my nephews and nieces and my neighbors and their kids to do that. That's all we could do until there's some more of a solution come back. Because, like I said, you know, my family does it. They read. you know, I have a couple of bookheads in my family, and I mean, we talk, we build. I was just on the phone with my parents today for about an hour, just speaking on different things due to spooks and the theory of people's thinking. But what I'm saying is that when I mean reinstate the community and bring it back and reprogram and rebuild, I don't mean like as in one piece, because when you put 15 people in a room and you tell them all 15 separate things, you control the whole room. And when people get caught up in hip-hop of Atlanta and R&B divas, I mean, it's entertainment, but people take it beyond that. I don't spend too much time with that type of thing. I try to spend time with things that's going to educate me and I'm building with people. So if I start with my five and the immediate children around me and whatever children that's going to be around us, we're slowly working on a process that should have been started this, because I'm pretty sure if we started this from the beginning of my career, we might not even be having this Trayvon Martin problem right now. If we had started this little by little, the first record I put out,
let's get back to that.
And we was doing what I'm talking about right now, we might not even have this Trayvon Martin problem, because we're slowly just working on the 5, the 10, the 15 around us. It slowly starts in New York, Chicago, Detroit, Florida, and now it's growing in North Carolina. You know, if you look at the theory of the cup is half full, half empty, you always realize that whatever you have means something, so you can always keep building on it. So,
Limbridge of the Carlins, Mikhail, she's been really chatting on the Zimmerman trial. She really got a lot to say. What you got to say, Mikhail?
Hey, Jimmy, what's going on?
All right.
Please.
You know, I was listening to the other caller, and I was listening to you, and our kids do read, but it's what they read in that's the problem. They don't have any problem reading 50 Shades of Grey. They don't have a problem reading Zane. They don't have a problem reading this trash literature that is put out there by so-called black authors that is promoting promiscuity and promoting the game, and they don't have a problem watching Love and Hip Hop. Our community is being infested by, to me, trash media and trash communications.
I'm happy that they're reading, okay, because when you don't read, all you're going to do is
act. Yeah, but what you feeding into your psyche, though,
at the low level we are right now, if a kid is reading, I'm happy.
I'm not happy with my 12 and 13 year old reading Zane. I'm not happy with that. I don't have a 12 or 13 year old anymore, thank God. But as parents, we have to filter what I'm fed into our children's mind. Yeah, it is a good thing that they're reading. But what are you putting in their spirit? You're not putting anything that's good. You're not putting anything that's helpful.
Well, that's why I say the library has a different selection. That's why you take your children to the library so they can learn to travel within those books.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
So if Zane is what you know, these kids are going towards, well, then hey, I'm just happy they're reading, okay? Because when
I go to other cultures,
they read. Even though I know they read trash, you know, hip hop bull crap, yeah, and hair care, you know, magazines or whatever, fashion magazines, but they're reading, okay? But I would like them to read more, but they're not, and that's why they're expanding their minds.
You know, I absolutely cannot. I despise trash television. I mean,
I don't want to get away from Trayvon, but, you know.
No, I don't want to get away from Trayvon either, but we have to. I wanted to comment on that because that's where I came in. That's what I was able to hear. When I logged on, that's what I heard talking about that. Now, when we talk about Trayvon Martin, I'm a piggyback and talk about this. It's so typical of what happens that has been happening ever since Plymouth Rock landed on us. You know what I'm saying? If a black man ain't never been worth more than three quarters. And the only reason he was worth three quarters at that time was for political reasons. They didn't even want to give us those three quarters. So it is not a surprise that Zimmerman said in one of his interviews that he felt that Spike Lee and Al Sharpton should apologize to him. But because if he had done something wrong, he would apologize. So what he's saying is taking a black man's life, a black young man's, because they so offended that we calling this 17-year-old a child, which a 17-year-old is a child. But they so offended by that. They want him to be considered a man. But Zimmerman does not find, and the majority of white America does not find, a black man's life to be worth an apology to his grieving mother, to his grieving family. And to me, that is disgusting. It's a sick, sick sign of where we are as a nation. It's appalling.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And like I said, I mentioned earlier, what I said was when I mentioned about reprogramming and reconstructing the community. Like I told you, you know, I was fortunate to come up in a time where, you know, the infrastructure of my home had a certain direction, and my thing is that we can get the kids to go back to the library. We can monitor what they read, and especially on TV. You know, I don't really watch too much stuff outside of Animal Planet. To me, animals are the most intelligent thing that's on TV besides one or two cartoons, because they're living by the truth. And my thing is, you know, just watching some of the shows, even on the Animal Planet, or how direct these animals move together. My thing is, again, even when you watch them, they start from their own tribe, their own set. My thing is, we have to restore the connection between the parent and the child. These parents are going out working two or three jobs to keep the lights on, but also to keep up with the Joneses, and nobody knows where they live at. Everybody's trying
first
to
first of all,
the Joneses
have filed bankruptcy. The Joneses
exactly.
are in bankruptcy.
Exactly. So my point is, when we are in these shopping areas, and you got these young broke boys coming from the projects, jumping out the cab, you know, walking with the ditty box, trying to look fly in front of some other poor people, it needs to start from the home of understanding what's important, getting our priorities straight, understanding food, clothing, and shelter, and then understanding communication. You know, and my thing is, like, it's starting from the home, and like I said, we do have to reprogram ourselves, and we do have to understand what our kids, because you ain't going to sit here and tell me, and I said, Dad, that's not what I want to eat. I told you, he said, you either going to eat it or you going to wear it.
Or you're going to be hungry.
Exactly. And what he's saying is, and then as I'm older now, he's also saying that, look, I worked for that. You know, that didn't come just by way of a money tree in the back. I worked for that. That's why you didn't see me the last 2 days. So you got a choice. You can either eat or you can wear it. You don't have no choice. And I'm hearing young 22-year-old parents in the street asking a 3-year-old child, what do you want to eat, baby? And they're taking them to McDonald's. So it's a whole lot of things going on in the home that we have to
I don't think that really have a lot to do with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman.
I'm going to tell you why, because the process of this conversation that we're having, there's four or five of us in here. There's some people that kind of think this way. There's other people that do understand this, but they're scared. They're riding off the fear. But what I'm saying is that a lot of these issues that we have is coming from in our genes, in our way of thinking, in our health. I mean, all this stuff is connected, because simple fact is the fact I didn't grow up that way. My thinking
but
was
Trayvon Martin, this is why I say I don't see the connection. Because Trayvon Martin, he was profiled because of a hoodie and a gold tooth. You see what I'm saying? But he has a right. I don't agree with a lot of the trends. I don't agree with sagging pants. But I don't believe that because you sag and you're a thug, I don't believe because you sag and you deserve to get shot down in the street like an animal. I don't believe because these girls out here wearing these booty shorts that they deserve to be raped, or that they deserve to be treated as if they're anything less. Yeah, they may be misrepresenting themselves, but that's like saying, okay, the young lady has on provocative clothes, so she deserved to get raped.
Of course
George
not.
George Zimmerman was a racist who, by his own words, felt like we get away with too much.
I'm glad you brought
what did Trayvon get away with? He didn't get away with buying a bag of Skittles.
Listen, I'm glad you brought that in.
He didn't get away with buying a bag of Skittles
Listen, I wanted to get this in. Now, listen. You either A, can just bear with me for the next 8 minutes and hear the truth. You can listen to your computer and call back. I want y'all response to what has never been heard before. Jimmy Lee Underground exclusive of an eyewitness, two eyewitnesses, and testified to the police what happened, and they got written off. And this is the Sanford Police Department. So we say, it's like the whole system was set up, and this is little proof now. I'm posted on all my sites. I just share this one site. Please, please, people, let me know what you think about this right here.
I don't know.
Hello?
Shooter is where he's at. Call. We have her daughter-in-law across the street. Told her to lock up the doors. We immediately locked up all the doors and windows, went upstairs, and that's when we went to the master bedroom window. And we looked out the window, and the guy was kind of almost pacing, took a couple of steps, just hands on his head, went back over to the body. And then by that time, I had been off the phone with 911 for a good minute, and I could see the flashlights of the police coming around.
No, Jimbo, wind it back. You know, they probably heard it from the beginning yet. Wind it back.
A few minutes later, they turned the
camera. Wind it back, Jim. That is not fair.
Something there. Or crying, someone in distress. I thought it was a little kid. And we kind of looked at each other, and then we heard gunshot. And at first it didn't really register what it was, so we immediately, within seconds, were out on the back porch, went through the sliding glass door, and saw a kid laying on the ground with this man standing with his feet, one on each side of the boy, and his hand leaning over him. And at the time, I didn't know if it was a guy that was coming up to help him, if the shooter had run and he maybe is checking his pulse. He was in front of the, on top of the body, so I couldn't see the kid's face. I didn't know if he was face up or face down. Maybe he was performing CPR, but you do that from the side, so it was a little confusing. So he said, everything okay? And he just looked at us. And some asked him again, what's up? What's going on? Everything okay? And he said, call the police. Kind of nonchalantly, like, leave me alone kind of thing. And we're just so confused. I came in and grabbed my phone. Selma did stay out there for a moment. And she'll be happy to interview with you. The man did continue to stand on him. And she says she saw him pressing down. The boy's foot did move, but it could have been a reaction after death, or I don't know if the boy was still alive or not. At that point, I called her. I said, get in the house. Lock the door. We don't know, you know, who the shooter is, where he's at. Call. We have her daughter-in-law across the street. Told her to lock up the doors. We immediately locked up all the doors and windows, went upstairs, and that's when we went to the master bedroom window. And we looked out the window, and the guy was kind of almost pacing, took a couple of steps, just hands on his head, went back over to the body, and then by that time I had been off the phone with 911 for a good minute, and I could see the flashlights of the police coming around the corner. A few minutes later, they turned the kid's body over, and that's when I saw it was a little boy, very, very young boy. Later found out he was 17. The police, you know, helped them tape off around the columns and everything with the yellow tape. And we filled out our brief report. Everything was so hectic. We have children, three children in the house. You know, we had to take upstairs and put in a room where they can see the backyard. We filled out the report, basic details, just right to the point. Signed it, gave it back to him.
So police never asked you for any specific statement or anything that day?
They never questioned us. They never asked us to go over the statement. They never, the only officer we spoke with was the one that handed us the paper and took it back from us. And he did not seem the least bit interested. And at that point, I'm thinking, obviously, this guy is on his way to jail. I didn't think I needed to make, you know, any big issue out of anything. And they never contacted us, anything. And I found out 24 hours later that the guy was released without being arrested.
So this guy, this teenage kid, gets shot and killed in your backyard, and police don't call you to the PD for questioning. They don't come to your home for questioning, nothing.
And even when I reached out and said, I guess they had left notes on everyone's door and there was a number at the bottom, and I called him. He didn't seem very interested in talking to me. I said, you know, I'm a little worried. Here I am. This guy saw both mine and my roommate's face. He knows where we live. And he said, oh, you have nothing to worry about. Don't worry. He blew us off. And I called him back again, and I said, I know this was not self-defense. There was no punching, no hitting going on at the time, no wrestling. There was a little boy whining and crying, and the gun went off.
Are you sure it was the teenager who was whining?
I am 100%. Okay, 99.9% sure. It was the little boy. He sounded like, almost like he was crying for, like, not begging, but just like, I don't know, I can't even say pleading because I don't have specific words that I heard. So after contacting that same police officer twice, I guess I was an annoyance enough that he gave me the phone number to the lead investigator, and Chris, I don't know if I can say his name, Chris, left a message with him expressing my concerns that I am very, very sure there was no arguing, no fighting going on at the time, because the fight that started happened all the way down the sidewalk and right around the corner, and that person called the police when the fight started. So he ended up shot in my backyard, which is 3-4 houses down.
So you never heard any sort of dispute or argument going
no.
on prior to that?
That happened
shot.
Down there. I never heard that, and we would have heard fighting something. We would have heard punches or yelling, or there was, from what my neighbors are telling me, verbal arguing, punches thrown, you know, whatever. I think that the shooter probably got beat up and was very angry, but I really do believe the little kid was trying to get home because it was not in the place that the fight started.
Take me back to when you, Zimmerman holding the kid down, what did it appear he was doing? And does it seem like he was trying to help? Does it seem like he was trying to, I mean, thinking back on it, does it seem like Zimmerman was in, someone trying to help save this boy's life after he had shot him?
At the time, I don't know, I had so much going on through my head, I couldn't figure out what he was doing. It didn't make sense what he was doing. So I can't say that at that time I thought, oh, he's trying to harm him, because I didn't know if he came upon the scene. In my head, if he was the shooter, he would have ran. So I didn't put two and two together that maybe he was possibly still there trying to harm him. But when I think about what I saw, it's logical, having one foot on each side of the little boy, his arms were straight. I'm not saying he was pressing on the kid. I don't know. I wasn't close enough for that. It was dark out. His arms were straight, and they were on his back. I did not know they were on his back until after we went upstairs and the body was turned over. That's when I realized the kid was face down. So had he been trying to help, at the time I thought, okay, maybe he is trying to help him hold the gunshot so the blood doesn't come out. You know, in my head I'm thinking good or bad, I don't know. But until I was upstairs and saw the police officer roll the kid over is when I realized he was face down, and there was no way that Zimmerman was helping him.
What do you think, I mean, in your best logical solution or your best explanation, what do you think happened? Do you think Zimmerman saw the suspicious black man in his neighborhood and then tried to confront him, the teenager? Like, what do you think happened?
I don't know if my opinion counts for much, but I know that Zimmerman is known for having a temper. He's known through the neighborhood of not being able to control it very well. I think that he takes his security of the neighborhood or neighborhood watch or whatever very, you know, seriously, and I think he harassed the little boy. I think it had to do with the fact that he didn't have white skin, but I can't say. I know that he, in the reports that I have seen and heard, he called in that there was a black boy or what in a white neighborhood, and it's suspicious. And they told him to leave the boy alone. Police are on their way. He still pursued the little boy. I think he probably was harassing the 17-year-old, and he's 17, he's a teenager, and I think he probably had enough and probably socked him. He probably got fed up with the guy following and harassing him, and yeah, the 17-year-old probably threw punches, and probably the fight started from there. I mean, I don't know exactly.
Is that somebody to shoot and kill someone, a teenage boy?
Absolutely not.
I'm going to read you this report. It says, Zimmerman told police that, quote, I was yelling for someone to help me, but no one would help me. Did you ever hear anything like that?
No, never. No.
You know, Mary, I know that you've been afraid to talk about this, but what compelled you to say, you know what, I have to tell people what I saw? What compelled you? You've seen a lot of the coverage, I'm sure. What was it that got to you?
I think I waited so long because in the beginning, initially, I assumed it's, you know, he's going to be arrested. Common sense will tell you. And he wasn't. So me going to speak with police officers and them not responding, I kind of wanted to stay out of the media because it really, I didn't see a benefit. I thought talking with the police would be a better option. And when I did that and they took my recorded statements, finally, after not returning my calls for days, they finally took my recorded statement last Friday or the Friday before, and still nothing is being done. And I just think that people need to know the truth. I don't think he should be set free. I don't think he should get off this easy. That little boy was not armed. He, regardless if he beat this guy up or not, Zimmerman is twice his size. He is a stocky guy. This little boy was skinny. There's no way. Okay, in self-defense, shoot him in the leg. I mean, seriously? If you really can't get a little 17-year-old skinny kid off of you, I just feel that justice is not served. I feel so bad for their family. And obviously me going to the police over and over, you know, numerous times is not helping, then I decided to speak with you guys.
Why do you think the police is trying to sweep this under the rug? I mean, this seems like, you know...
My personal opinion is because the person that originally made the decision to let him go, because he is trying to be a police officer. Zimmerman, I guess, was aspiring to be a police officer.
He's taking criminal justice classes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that gave him some in with the police and gave him some, you know, so they kind of let things slide a little too easy and say, okay, maybe it was self-defense. And once they realize they've messed up, I don't think they want to retract and say, you know, we shouldn't have let him go. I think they're too embarrassed.
What do you think they should be concerned about right now? This community is outraged.
What should they be concerned about? I think they should be concerned with getting him in jail. Nobody here is at peace because nobody knows if he's still in this house. No one knows what to think. You read different stories from every different media. You hear different stories from every neighbor. Obviously, there's rumors of this and rumors of that and gossip and that there was two shots and not one and that the kid only got hit once, though. And, you know, there's all these different rumors that you hear, but you don't know what to believe. So
when he was standing over the kid, did he still have the gun in his hand?
No, not that I could see. No, his hands looked like they were almost on top of each other or together in some way. It was very hard to see because I had to position myself at an angle to where I could see that side of him. But no, it was almost like empty hands together.
When you say people had run-ins with him before, that he was a hothead, do you, any examples of?
I have no specific examples. That's all hearsay and all rumor. I've only lived in this neighborhood for maybe 3 months. So I've had little to no contact with him or you know, no contact with him at all, but no, neighbors, and this is all, you know, people are saying after the fact.
Mom, as a viewer, what would you want to know from her?
I'm in jail because I have a granddaughter and a daughter here. The man's out running free. As far as I know, he still has his gun, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that is another issue. Is he still able to carry a firearm?
Well, he is, because he hasn't been arrested or charged. You know, right?
I mean, I have a 10-year-old, and I don't think he would come and, you know, mess with me, especially since I'm doing openly. But
do you think Sanford Police is... do you think they screwed up this investigation by not talking to key witnesses early on?
Well, definitely that was one way. Big time. They screwed up the investigation. They should have went and spoke with each person who wrote out a report, each person who called 911. Each person should have been interviewed that night, and no interviews were done.
You had to call them and keep them out.
And they didn't return my call multiple times. I think they messed up in whatever happened to arresting the person and then having trial and him having to prove his innocence. You know, they just come to the conclusion that he's not guilty. There was not enough evidence that he was not guilty.
Mean and angry and all they want to play video games.
Why hasn't the media blasted this particular testimony?
Right.
You know, this is what I'm saying. It's like, okay.
It was a facade.
It's okay because he was a young black man with a hoodie and a gold tooth.
Okay, well, listen, people, I'm trying to make this go viral. It's from WFTV.com, ABC News Channel 9. I think it's
okay.
From Florida. That's where this is coming from. So at the time it was given to me, only now people have it now. 16 has it. So we're trying to let the whole world know because this is why I think it's going to be an investigation. What do you think about that, Prince Poe? Cool.
Hey, man, you know, like I said, that's part of, I mean, like I said earlier about the whole, I mean, system. It's like, Jim, man, we don't have any justice in this particular society when it comes to something like that. You know, so it's once again, even though I know it's that big far-fetched thing that, you know, most people don't really maybe want to agree with or accept, but I remember this quote that Malcolm X said, I mean, years ago. He was like, you know, the civil rights movement, he was pretty much, you know, kind of bashing him at this time, saying they begging for, you know, freedom. And he was like, you know, 40, 50 years from now, black people, we're going to be in the same rut. So he made that in the mid-1960s. And it's 40, 50, you know, years later, we're still in the same rut. It's like, it's not going to change until we really, my thing is separate from this system. It's almost like when you... I mean, when we backtrack, you know, the whole thing about us coming over here, like the sister said, you know, Plymouth Rock, you know, landing on us, it's like if we don't really accept that okay, how can you make it in the your slave master society? I mean, it's not set up for us to make it.
Right.
We're always going to have the Trayvon Martin.
The only way
we're going to
make it.
That's an illusion. That's what
the only way we're going to make it is if we change the laws. And how do we change the laws? By becoming attorneys, by becoming lawmakers. We can't change the law if we on the other end of the law, if we the criminal. The only way to change the law is within the law. And that's where the reading come in. That's where the knowing of your history. I can't change the law if I'm reading 50 Shades of Grey. Because all that's teaching me how to do is become a dominatrix or either submissive, whatever. I don't even read the book. But it's just the whole point that if I'm not reading anything else, what our children need to learn is that they're the only ones that can make a difference. And the only way they can make a difference is if they change the laws. The reason why they found Zimmerman is innocent according to the laws. This is the same law where Rosewood happened. You know what I'm saying? This is the same place where Rosewood happened. When I think about Florida, all I think about is Rosewood. The fact that they'll take out a whole town. They'll take out the whole town for one nigga. You know what I'm saying? This is the way they think. This is their mentality. I'm not saying that all Floridians think like that, but when I think of the history of Florida, the first thing that popped in my mind as an African-American woman or a black woman living in white America is Rosewood. That's what I think about. And the fact that our children are not being raised to think that they're, you know, the Jewish culture, what they do to their children, when that child is born, they say, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a jeweler, you're going to be this, that, and the other. What do we say? You're going to be a rapper, you're going to be a basketball player, you're going to be a baseball player, you're going to be a dancer, you're going to do this. We say, oh, look at little mama popping her thing. This is what we train our kids up to be. Now, if we flip the script and I look at my child instead of saying, oh, you so cute, the hell with you. Baby, you are so smart. You are so intelligent. We need to rethink of the things that we're sowing into our children. But if other cultures are doing it.
Well, check this out. I agree with that, but let me drop it on everybody while I got you on the phone. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to say it all week. Jorge Zimmerman is an essay. Now, what people don't fail to realize is the subliminalness of this assassination that took place on Trayvon Martin. Well, it just took place right there on TV, broadcast in front of everybody, with the Hispanics telling the niggas that we are the new white man, y'all are beneath us, even the justice is on our side. We can get the Dream Act, we can get all the rights and benefits that y'all begged and cried for, all y'all rights y'all died for, y'all did that for us.
There
matter
you go,
fact,
wanting
to
beg again, stop the begging,
the
Jimmy. Stop the beg thinking.
Wait a
that's
minute,
the begging
but this
thinking.
The thing.
Jimmy,
well,
Jorge, you're
want to put us in a begging state of mind, Jimmy.
Jimmy, Jorge could change his name to George Zimmerman and look like a George Zimmerman. Jimmy Lee Tillman can never look like anything but the little black boy.
I saw his mama.
You can't assimilate according to
your mama. I saw that boy,
he can.
I saw somebody that's probably mopping floors.
Lower your voice, Jimmy. We can't hear you, man. You sound muggled.
Zimmerman can appear to be a white man on TV named George Zimmerman. Whether he's
white or
black.
That's what I'm trying to say to you all right now.
We will never be able to do that.
I respect. I know what you're saying.
I'll never be able
saying,
to
Jimmy.
Walk. In.
Listen, check me out. The fact that you look at Jorge as a white man. The fact, because listen, they got.
He can be.
Jimmy.
You can check the box.
It's a white America.
Go on, it says white,
not assimilate way quicker than you can because they're not looking at the content of your character. They looking at your skin.
Before we jump on the white man, hold on.
White skin.
Hold on,
he may not be a white man, but he got white skin.
Follow the dots for 1 second. Just follow the dots for just 1 second. It might seem hard. It might seem difficult. It's like waking up and finding out Santa Claus don't exist. But check me out for 1 second. All I'm saying is this. If we all know that the Hispanics are bringing the dope in our community, we all know that. So we all know it's plaguing our community right now. We all know that. So if we want to say Doug Gilbert's a problem, we can blame it on one fucking race. We got. Once upon a time, we said, ain't no planes flying drugs in. We ain't got no boats. We should say that back in the 80s.
Come on, man.
We walk in, that we're saying now, hey, walk in over the border. So we know where the problem is. That's one. Now, where our jobs coming? Where our jobs being
it's
taken up? Where taking our jobs?
People can walk where they want to go, Jimmy. Don't get caught up on that crap that way he's saying. All right.
It's Jorge.
And right now,
George. All I know is that he killed a little black boy and got away with it. That's all I know. I don't give a damn what
it was
color
a cover
is.
Up. It was a mock
cover
up, and it was done by the crackers, Jimmy. And everybody sees that, even the Latinos.
What I'm saying is this. Now, I hate to put me to a mute. The point I'm saying is this. That if you're not looking at the fact that they're walking drugs across the border and drugs is a problem in our community. If you're looking at the fact that they're taking even a minimum wage job that people come out of jail, you should be able to get, can't get no more, and it's a problem. You're not looking at that. If you're looking at that, you're an illegal alien that you can go to any state fund school for in-state tuition. You're looking at advancement right there. You're not looking at
hey,
that. You're looking at all these.
And it's all
you're not looking
about
at all these
essays
getting their own separate schools, using separate but equal laws that we died for. You're not looking at that. If you're not looking at that, they're the ones that are mad that the Voting Rights Act got struck down. Why? Because they're the ones getting discriminated. All
it.
Our laws and all
it.
Our rights and benefits, even the schools, minority laws, it's all for them, and they're reaping their benefits. That, and we're on the front lines right now fighting for it for them. If you're not realizing that, Jorge looks like a white man. Now, we're blaming the white man, but let's be real. We know what's plaguing our community. We can say the white man, but we know who is bringing it in. Now I'm bringing everybody back in, and the guns and the dope. We ain't going to go fast and furious, but we know what time it is, but I'm bringing everybody in. And you can blame the white man right there if all y'all want to. Let's slap the white man around right now because
that's not what I'm saying. The only point I'm trying to make is that it is easy for a George Zimmerman to get away with what he got away with. He couldn't have got away with it if he was as dark as Sammy Sosa, because no matter if Sammy Sosa from Dominican Republic or not in Spanish speaking, he's still looked at as a nigger because of his skin. He's not
sending
looked at
you a message in Florida, the swing state, that Hispanics are our new electric that we want to do it, and we're going to let you get justice, because we know if we let it ride, if you don't get justice, when election time come up, you're not going to vote for us, because right now, you're the only voting block. Y'all not looking at the obvious. Y'all look at the white man, not looking at Jorge Zimmerman.
Okay, okay,
I'm not looking at the white man.
I'm not looking at the white man.
I don't give a damn what color he was. What I know is that a little black boy died in the street like a pig, and we didn't receive any justice for that. I don't give a damn who killed him. Just like Jorge ain't shooting on the south side of Chicago and Inglewood on the west side. What I'm saying is, it is an atrocity.
Maybe he is. There's initiation going around with these essays. You get in the gang, you have to shoot. That's on the street. Ask the cops. To get in the gang, you have to come shoot a black man.
Check this out, Jimmy. To be a part of the Nation of Islam a long time ago, you had to sacrifice and cut off the heads of at least two white people. Did you know that?
I mean, sometimes you have to cut off the balls of a black man and hang on a tree.
Check it out. Wait a minute, hold it. That was a part of Nation of Islam. What, never mind what you got to join a group. We know what happened, okay? Listen. What happened with Trayvon was wrong, and it was a cover-up. It was a fake trial. Okay, it was fake. It was fake from the start. All right.
No one can disagree with it, because if you watch court TV, if you watch anything, you know the prosecutor and the police department go hand in hand. Who don't know if those cops and that prosecutor had trials right then? Who knows if they didn't lie for those cops at
that
time?
Now, that girl.
We don't know the extent of their relationship off top. But the simple fact that this information that I played.
Right.
Because there's records of what this lady has said. Need to be found. So now, once upon a time, I'm sorry my man pressed phone left out. I'm going to pay you a cut. But listen, what I was trying to say is this, that with this information that is being released, and I'm putting it out there, please go on my page and share it. I'm putting your page in this poll. I'm trying to put your page, Coop, and everybody else. Let your people see this information, because this is the information that Eric Holder, if he means what he say, and say what he means, he can look at this, because this is just one case.
Can I ask a question?
Let me finish this last point, Free Lady. This one case, this one death, might open up a whole can of worms of not only
Amen.
This cover-up, but a whole systematic cover-up of these things going on, because we do not know how many people that this guy might have killed, or there might be something that's going around to do this because of this information that has been released. Now, that's
but
what I'm saying.
But it goes back to the laws.
Please, and everybody, from now on, when you talk to white people, be black and proud, and don't be afraid to say that you're black. They don't respect you when you say that you're human. Okay, if you say you're human, they say, oh, well, you're not proud of yourself. And so you don't deserve no respect. So now I'm noticing on the news now black people are starting to say they're black, and it's like the white commentators, they want to listen to them now. Oh, now you're proud of being black. Now you're saying you're black. You're African-American. Trayvon was an African-American. He's black. He's not just a little boy. Now they're respecting. Now they're listening. So from now on, don't. Please, when you talk to them, don't try to act like you're not black. You don't see color.
We have to show that we're outraged. We have to show that we're outraged. We have to show, and I don't mean through violence. I don't mean through tearing up our own stuff. But we have to show that we're not going to accept being treated like niggas no more. We have to show that we way beyond that. We way beyond being disrespected. We have to. If we can't prove that, I don't never have a problem having a race type of conversation with nobody. I don't have a problem with it. Yes, I am a human being, but I'm an African-American human being. I have a problem with the most of us that are black Americans don't even want to be called African-American. The most I hear, and I've had many debates like this because I'm a stylist, I work in a salon, a lot of sisters will say, well, I ain't never been to Africa. I don't know nothing about Africans. Africans don't claim me, but I am an American of African descent. But we don't want to say that. We don't want to say that. Any other culture, they ain't never been to Ireland, but they'll say they're Irish-American. They ain't never been to Italy, but they'll say they're Italian-American. But we are so quick to deny who we are. Why is that?
Because we wanted that. But Martin Luther King put us up to say, hey, we can all be equal, and we are not different. We're equal. And when we did that, we didn't become black no more. We wasn't individuals.
I'm going to get my man
from
Paul Kamin and get the word in. But no, it was.
Before the Civil Rights Movement, we owned banks, we owned property. It was no such.
People didn't understand. It was not. The deal was we were trying to make America honor
the
contract. And that was.
The Vietnamese wasn't doing nails. You see what I'm saying? We allowed people to come in our neighborhoods and take over. But we give them our money.
We chose to go downtown. We could have kept our own stuff. That's one.
We could have kept our own stuff, but we didn't.
I'm trying to bring you back in. The point I was trying to say is this in the last 10 minutes I got for my show. Do we got Pro back on? Anyway, the point I'm trying to say is this in the last 10 minutes. My fault, Coop, get you back in, is that the Civil Rights Movement is not looked upon like you want to look upon it. You cannot put the Martin Luther King, just with the Civil Rights Movement, without putting Emmett Till or Medgar Evers or everybody else, and just put on Martin Luther King. The point I'm coming at is right there, here, people, that what Martin Luther King did was charged, put right there in America, this is your contract, this is what you say, aren't we citizens, honor your contract. So if America would have violated that contract on us, then everything it stood for was just bogus, and that's why it worked. But let me bring my man Prince Poe in.
They did violate the contract.
They still violated it. So.
It was bogus.
We dropped them. Okay. I tried my best to have my man Poe in. What you got to say, Poe, for you? I just close out. And what you got to say?
I got cut off, and I was just listening to you guys. Brother Lee, I wanna definitely get back on your show, because what I was saying, it has a lot to do with Trayvon Martin when the sister said it didn't. First of all, your way of thinking, a lot of ways that's twisted thinking that's coming now, because we're not eating and we're not taking care of ourselves, man. People's theories is changing. Our kids all of a sudden becoming diagnosed with ADD. Where did that come from? Like, all these different things that's coming in. So it has a lot to do with the eating, the habits, and our infrastructure. We live in a country that's considered a business. Therefore, we have to empower ourselves. We're supposed to have people, more lawyers, more cops, more, and higher places. If we was more aware of who we were and we was taking care of ourselves and thinking clearly and self-educating ourselves, like the brother said with the books, all these things, it is the responsibility of ourselves and to our community. And all I'm saying to you is that, brother, I want to get back on the show so we can build like we was before. But if we take care of ourselves and reconstruct who we are, we can become a business within this business. Until we do that, we're going to always have this problem. We need to be in higher places. We need to have more power. We need to know how to come together. We need to be able to pull some strings. And these are the problems that we're having within this system. We don't have a system within this system. Other races and cultures have a system within this system. We don't. We don't have cousins to go back to Africa and bond with. People can go back to Puerto Rico and bond with that. And people can go back to other countries across seas and bond with their culture and their foundation, which is strong. All I'm saying is that we need to be in higher places. We need more power, and we can get more answers. And I definitely want to keep building with you, and I'm definitely coming back to the show so we can continue on this even beyond Trayvon Martin, because I had Trayvon Martins in my teenage years. So this is an old problem.
I appreciate you being on my show. That's my man, Prince Poetry. Poe, now, where can they find your information and website, my friend?
Okay. I definitely appreciate y'all having me, man.
And where can they find your information, your website, and your information? Where can they find information on Prince Poe?
Yeah, PrincePoeMusic.com. I got an album coming out in the fall, in October, called Animal Serum. You'll understand what it means more. It definitely is in relation and correlation to what's going on now. We need to definitely build our immune system of our thinking and our way of living, and that's what the album is about. Coming out on Wandering Works, wanderingworks.com, principalmusic.com. You can catch me on Twitter. You can catch me on Facebook. You know, holler at me. Tell me something good or build with me. Let's try to look for solutions and making living life easier.
Make sure to get me on that anytime. We can kick it in. Coop, you got anything to say?
No, I'll get to end it off, man. I just want to say, you know, once again, I think, you know, it's time to really do for self. You know, once again, having the whole talk, I know that the minutes are running out, but my thing is, as long as we keep saying, oh, they give us this, they give us that, and when they going to do this, I mean, that's still giving the white man the power, man. At the end of the day, he has no power over us. We are the gods. We are the true and living. We were here. You know, we've been here thousands and thousands and millions of years. They little society has only been around 200 years. Their time is up. You know, follow me. Got a YouTube page, Truth is Large, or hit me on my email, you know, and I'll get out information when we build a little bit more. And then once again, you know, bring back the real, you know, the real content, spiritual music, and long live the real hip hop.
What's going on with Mikhail? You got anything to say before we close it out?
All I want to say is I agree 100% with everything my brother said on this program tonight. And I also 100% am for education. I believe that the only way that we can prevent our young men from being murdered in the street is to educate them and to educate ourselves. And that's it.
I want to give a shout out to where your shop is at and where they can find you at.
Right now, I'm working at Danzy's on 95th in Hamilton. The address is 2130 West 95th Street. My name is Mikhail Gray, and that's where I can be found.
All right. It's Jimmy Underground Radio Network. I don't know if the show is going to be on tomorrow, but we're going to still try to keep this Trayvon thing fresh. I'd like to thank all my listeners in. We lost Sean. I know Sean want to be on here and say stay black and keep it fresh, so I'll give that shout out to Sean. And we're going to... Johnson, y'all can just continue listening to all this Phil Johnson. It's called On Because I'm Black. This is Jimmy Underground Radio Network. I'm on Monday through Thursday for those who are just tuning in. Press Pro, man, anytime, call it up. Any topic, we can pick it. You know what I'm saying? It's all about, you know, developing up the mind, you know, and I am Republican, and it is almost election time, so, yeah, be looking for the Martin Luther King Republicans. Now, listen here, Coop, Sean, and McKeel, listen, try to get the link of that episode I just showed with the interview with that person and pass it on, because the more people see this information.
I definitely will, yeah.
Okay, no doubt.
All right,
y'all, peace and love, Jimmy, on the radio network. Let's fade out, because I'm black, Ebony.
So bad, so bad. I wanna be somebody. I wanna be somebody so bad. You see, I want diamond rings and things like you do. And I wanna drive Cadillac cars. I wanna be somebody so bad. But you keep on putting your foot on me. And break away and be somebody somehow in some way. You see, I heard somebody say one time, you can make it if you try. Oh, and some of us I don't speak for myself, but I speak for y'all too right now. You see, if you're half white, light brown skinned, or high yellow, you're still black. So we all got to stick together right now. This I want to say to you, my sisters and my brothers. Right on, sister. Right on, brother. Dig this. If we keep on pushing, y'all, oh, we got to make it a little bit further. We got to make it a little further. All we got to do is try, try, try. And some of us, we're trying so hard. We're trying so hard. We're trying so hard. We're trying so hard to be somebody. We're trying so hard, although they're holding us back. And it stands to reason that they're doing us like that. You know what? It is. I believe it's because we're black. But hey, we can't stop now. We can't stop now. We got to keep on, keep on, keep on, keeping on. We got to keep on, keeping on. I know and I know and I know that you know that I know it ain't right. It ain't right, it ain't right. That they hold us, hold us, hold us back. They're holding us back.